And she's desperate for the one reason, to give her son a quality of life that will make her and his, and in particular his life, more bearable.
Yeah, you're right, Liam. Absolutely. And Aisling, rest assured, I will do everything I can to support you. And
our annual budget
is coming up for review in the coming weeks, so it's very timely.
Angela, I actually met you at the accent
Yeah. And I do everything I can, Aisling, to continue to support you. But I know that with the budget coming up, Aisling, it's a good time, because I know our Labour group will certainly do that, and I hope our like-minded colleagues will do likewise. Look, we say we want to support people to continue to be cared for in their homes, but let's make it sure it's not just words, that it actually can happen.
So, all right.
Can I just say, though, that I have been speaking to Kildare County Council yesterday, and they want me to send in quotes and stuff. So I have been working away, and I did get... my own OT here to do, she did actually a beautiful 4-page recommendation. Now, she's not calling it an OT report because apparently they're not allowed to do them. So,
But you have this report, and have you submitted this revised?
Yeah, I've submitted this, so they know. And look, I spoke to Brian O'Gorman in the council yesterday, and he said, you know, that they want help, and so if I have to get in my quotes, which I'm finding hard to get a build.
All right.
But, you know, I'm hopeful that... But what I'm really worried is that this is going to go on and on and
all
on.
All right, okay. Yeah. We're going to have to leave it there, Les, because we're at news. But can, Angela, you might take that up and engage with Brian and see what the story is and what else Aisling needs to put in.
Thanks,
and we'll have... Angela will be back in the programme tomorrow to discuss the what reaction or any developments in that case, and also her motions.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Councillor Angela Feeney of the Clanmuir Municipal District Labour Councillor, and indeed Aisling McNiff from Artlock. Thank you both.
Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Catch up with a couple of messages. 300,000 houses. Ah, more spins, says a listener. Doesn't believe it at all. Another listener says, hi, Clem and Kira. Can you give a shout out to Tommy Canaan, who's home recovery from his hip replacement? He's back already. He was 88 on Sunday. He's had the hip replacement. He's at home. Tough nail is Tommy Canaan. He listens to KFM every day, enjoys everything. I definitely found out I'm no Florence Nightingale, says his daughter, Catherine. I hope he's not being cranky now, Catherine. Thank you to my sister Jeanette for all the hard work scheduling the roster medications list, but also helpful as Jim, Marianne and my son Niall doing his exercises as well. Hope he's not being cranky, as I said. Tommy Canaan, good morning to you. 88 and a new hip. You'll be jumping fences again. You'll be throwing the horse up in your back and actually hopping over the fence with him rather than the other way. A listener says, Mag says, I was listening yesterday to the piece about Agnes the Lurcher, who was taken in by Dogs Trust. Lurchers and greys are the most cruelly treated of all dogs in Ireland, greyhounds you mean, and it was heartwarming to hear of her recovery. I'm sure it also generated a lot of interest in the work of Dogs Trust. But shortly before the piece, an advert was played for greyhound racing, and that saddens me to hear it on my local station. So many dogs are badly injured and killed on tracks all around the country, and it's an activity that's in decline because people don't want to see these beautiful dogs treated like commodities. I really wish KFM would reconsider whether they really need this revenue. It seems wrong to champion the work of rescues with one hand while advertising an event that directly causes injury and suffering as a great night out, says Mag. Mag, I respect your view. But the fact of the matter is, we're not talking about coursing here. We're not talking about an illegal activity. We're talking about a fully legal activity that greyhound racing is. The fact that there is wrongdoing done by others is a different topic altogether, and one that we would never, ever condone. Do you want to apply the same standards, for example, to horse racing? Should we ban the advertising of that as well? And we could go into a number of other areas as well. Should we ban the breeding of dogs in kennels? Maybe we should, because much of that abuse goes on as well. But once organisations carry out their activities in a responsible, verifiable manner, well, then they're a legal entity and they're entitled to advertise their services. It is then within the remit of every single citizen of this country to decide, as you have, Mag, and I respect that, and I feel very strongly about animal welfare myself, in regards to then whether they wish to become involved or partake or avail of that service or not. That's all I can say to you in regards to that. I mean, if we were to take a view that we will refuse advertising from everybody because we simply don't agree with them, well then, you would have no local station in the first place. And that's all I can say in relation to that. Thank you, though, for the message, and it is worth consideration. Let's move on now. The National Crime Victims Helpline has launched its 2020 annual report just yesterday, detailing a 15% increase in contacts compared to 2019, but recording over 5,170 contacts over their free phone helpline 116006, text, email and post. Let's hear more, because Michelle Pocaber is Executive Director of the Crime Victims Helpline. Good morning, Michelle, and thank you for joining us this morning. Sorry about keeping you waiting on the line there. We're quite busy, as you are indeed. Now, I'm looking at statistics here, like, for example, a 15% increase in contacts, but an extraordinary 135% increase in domestic violence-related crimes.
That's right. So in 2020, what we really saw was, you know, we saw a decrease in reported crime, but, you know, an increase in our contacts. And what we really think was happening there was just the year that was in it. You know, people were, the pandemic was on. People were separated from family and friends. You couldn't meet face-to-face. So people were separated from their really kind of their natural supports. And the crime victims helpline over 116006 helpline, we provide, you know, support at a distance. People can drop an email. So it was really, we were really well suited to support people, provide information, during the separation and the lockdown. And in addition, the 135% increase in domestic violence-related crimes really mirrors what domestic violence agencies have been saying about 2020, that the pandemic was very dangerous for people who are in situations where maybe living in unsafe situations, subject to coercive control, that it was, you know, it was a really challenging time.
Yeah, you describe it actually in your report, in your particular opening address. You say it was a year that tested the resilience and fortitude of individuals, families and the community. Navigating a pandemic is not easy, but it was especially difficult for people attempting to cope and recover after a crime. You then move on and you say that not alone in the past, in the terms of the past year, but the ripple effects of that, the mental health strain of 2020 will continue to ripple for years to come, you say.
Yeah, I mean, you think about mental health and how people cope with trauma and any trauma in your life and in grief, that you kind of have a cup, and sometimes your cup is full because you are getting the supports you need. You are, again, with family and friends, and you have a life that's fulfilling. And, you know, going through the pandemic, people kept taking and taking and taking from that reserve. And so you're finding that, you know, a trauma, like a crime happening, and it doesn't even have to be something that, you know, people would quote unquote consider serious, something like your car is stolen, you know, there's criminal damage, someone, you know, throws something at your house, or, you know, rips up your plants. It's those types of things that it's just really depleting for people. And so I think what we'll find moving forward is that, you know, people, things are starting to open up. And so, you know, hopefully people start to kind of add back into their cup of resilience and be able to cope a little bit better with all of the little things that life throws at you. And then not to mention, again, you know, crime. And so what we were very grateful for at the Crime Victims Helpline is that people were able to reach out. They were able to get some support, a listening ear, and, you know, non-judgmental. Like, you know, we would take anyone, we hear from people from all types of crimes, again, from, you know, harassment and assault are the most common crimes that we, you know, would hear about. But again, a lot of criminal damage, burglary, fraud, as well. During the pandemic, we saw a huge increase in cybercrime and scams. And so it's really, again, talking to people, supporting them and helping them kind of cope and know what to expect from the criminal justice system.
And when I look through your report and I see that, as might be expected and unsurprisingly, the contacts to your organisation of 85% are from victims, but you also hear in 1% from witnesses to crimes, A 1% from the accused offender, which is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. 2% of service providers. 3% only of Garda. Friends, relatives of the victim, 8%. That statistic in relation that only 3% of contacts come from an Garda Síochána as a result of crime. Would you share the view that the Gardaí are the first line of contact, usually, in terms of crime? Should there be an imperative on them to refer people to your line, or indeed to directly contact you, to at least expand your database?
Yeah, so yeah, those are the people contacting us. So I actually think it's a really great number. That means that there's 3% of our contacts are guards who are taking it upon themselves to ring the 116006 hotline or send us an email saying, "Look, I have this victim. I really want to support them. What victim support services are in my area, or what is their counseling, or where should I direct them to?" So I think that that's actually very encouraging, and there is a legal obligation on the Gardaí to provide information about victim support services to all victims of crime. So starting in 2015 with the EU Victims' Rights Directive. So what we're seeing is that the guards are sharing information about the crime victims hotline immediately when they interact with a victim. Or
and maybe not enough Gardaí, though. Maybe it should be a kind of a reflex thing that once a Garda is aware of a particular crime, that the victim be advised that they can contact your organisation, or that an Garda Síochána would make you aware of this person so that you can intervene. When I look across the various contacts and the 5,000 plus contacts you've had, and they're covering every aspect of criminality, and by the way, I notice as well, they even include 57 contacts regarding road traffic accidents. Mm. There is, of course, the terrible area of child abuse, rape and sexual assault, and all of that. The domestic violence statistics, 326 contacts. LGBTQ hate crime, 7 of those. Racist hate crime, 22 contacts with your organisation. And in terms of profiled across the county, I see that the percentage here in County Kildare, 2%, which represents just 4% of the population.
Yeah, so you would be, Kildare is underrepresented in our statistics, and you can look at it either one of two ways. Either there's less crime in Kildare, or it could be that maybe there's just less awareness, in Kildare of the services of the crime victims hotline. Now, I'm not able to access crime stats on a county, wide basis, but I would hope certainly that it's not that people in Kildare don't know that they can reach out to our national helpline, that it's more of that maybe there's just less crime because there are counties that are overrepresented in our statistics.
Right, because when I look at Michelle, when I look at it, for example, I see that in Cork, the Dublin, 43% of contacts come from the county of Dublin, 7% from Meath. I'm looking at just Leinster counties, 4% from Wicklow next door to us, and then you've Kildare down at 2%. It gets worse as you go down the line, because counties like Offaly, Laois, only 1% of those are making contact. So maybe we need to create a greater awareness. And briefly, if you would, when somebody engages with your helpline, with your organisation of crime victim support, the crime victims helpline, what is the process? I imagine you advise, and do you refer?
That's right. So we do three main things. So one, on the helpline, we provide a listening service. So we provide time and space for people to talk if that's what they want to do. We're non-judgmental, we're non-directive, meaning we're not going to tell people what to do. We really are just there to listen uninterrupted to people, and that's really a valuable service. Now, sometimes that's kind of undervalued, but what we find when we go out and we talk to people who've used our service, that's what they identify as the most useful thing that has happened, is they really appreciate having someone just fully focused on them and allowing them to talk through their situation. The second thing that we do is we provide information about the criminal justice system. So this is just answering questions, helping people know what to expect from a Garda investigation, explaining how decisions are made, whether or not a prosecution takes place, what to expect when a case goes to court. So it's really just providing that basic information, because most victims, when they get involved in the criminal justice system, they've never been involved with it before. Maybe their only experience with it has been, on TV and seeing that. And so it's really just helping people know what to expect. And then the third thing that we do is we help people find local victim support services or specialist victim support services. So if somebody's been a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault, or it's a friend or family member of a homicide victim, you know, there's a lot of specialized victim support services in Ireland. So we help them know about those services and connect with those services, as well as we can talk about counselling as well.
Indeed, it's very comprehensive. As one who's been a victim of crime, i.e. a burglary, you're left just sort of holding your hands and saying, look, our property's been wrecked and there's nothing to do, and you can get very frustrated and whatever else. But when I talk, we look at the range of serious crimes, and burglary is one of them. But, you know, at least I consider myself fairly resilient, but there would be many, many people out there who, when their homes were invaded, they feel so vulnerable, psychologically damaged, etc. It's a very important service. Ireland, by the way, was among the first EU countries to establish this crime helpline and for victims. The number is 116006. You can also text to be contacted on 085 133 7711, or you can email for information info@crimevictimshelpline.ie. That's info@crimevictimshelpline.ie. And of course, it's also on a website. But your best bet is to ring the helpline, which is free, 116, and that number again is 006, 116006. They've just published their annual report. Indeed, it's very comprehensive. And if you want more information on that, you can go to their website as well. You'll find it on their website in regards. And Michelle Puckarber is the executive director of the organisation. Good talking to you, Michelle.
Thanks so much, Clem.
Thank you indeed. Very, very important service. And we can't overemphasise enough, if you're a victim of crime, it's a free service and it is there. Avail of it. 116006. Call that number now if you're struggling in any way with that.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
A Newbridge listener says she just speaks to her Google smart speaker saying, hey Google, play KFM, and she gets it every time. That's probably because Google speaker is probably terrified of her. It's probably the way she says it. I'm warning you, play KFM now. So all you have to do is just, as I say, if you have a smart speaker, just be a little more specific in saying maybe play Kildare's KFM, play Kildare's KFM Ireland or whatever else, or just play KFM and play the right one, Alexa, or else you're going in the bin, whichever, in regards to that.
Now, this week is Road Safety Week and today is Tyre Safety Day. Communications Manager with the Road Safety Authority, Brian Farrell, joins me this morning. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning, Ciara.
Just to let our listeners know, to date in 2021, 108 people have died on the country's road. And to highlight just how important high-quality tyres are, defective tyres are linked to 14 deaths each year. Now, Brian, you guys at the RSA are advising the regular walk-arounds of one's vehicles. But what exactly do we need to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I suppose, as you say, it's Road Safety Week. We're focusing on tyre safety today, and we're trying to get people to, I suppose, check their tyres to ensure that they're roadworthy. And there's a couple of reasons why we're doing that. Traditionally, we come out at this time of year when we're heading into the winter months. We're expecting poor weather. We're expecting more wet weather. And it really is important that your vehicle is fit for purpose. So we're saying, you know, check your tyres, check your lights, check your windscreen wipers. But in particular, the message, around tyres, because they're only your only contact with the road, and you know, when you're trying to stop your car in wet weather, it's really important that you have tyres that are fit for purpose, that have a good tread depth on them, that are inflated to the correct tyre pressure, that are not damaged, because if not, they're not going to do what you need them to do. They're not going to stop you safely, and you know, if you're cornering, or if you hit a curb, or if you hit the verge, and for example your tyre is underinflated, if there's any cracks, it could end in serious consequences. And that's what we've seen when we looked at the Garda forensic collision investigation files, that in a situation where the tires are damaged and seriously deteriorated, they don't do the job that they're supposed to do in an emergency situation.
Now, obviously, let me just highlight the fact that money is completely irrelevant when compared to the value of one's life. But there are a lot of people out there, Brian, that are constantly under financial pressure, and hearing things like this may just stress them even more. You know, the hypothetical of what if, are they good enough, will I have the money to cover it? How does one kind of set a budget for their tyres, and how often should tyres be changed? How much should we be spending on tyres? Because we know it is like anything else, depending on the brand, it can cost more.
Yeah, they're really good questions, and I suppose to answer the first part of your question is Mick Hennerby, the Chief Superintendent of Roads Traffic Policing, said yesterday you'd be better off buying a new set of tyres than risking getting penalty points and an €80 fine. And quite possibly, if you end up in court, you know, facing a €120 fine. So it's really a false economy if you think that, you know, you're going to save money if you are, you know, skimping on your tire, on your tires, and not investing in new tires. The other thing they say as well is that, you know, an issue ignored is a crisis insured. If you're tires are bald and you can't stop them and you end up crashing into the vehicle in front of you, you're going to end up with an even bigger financial headache forking out for the repairs on your own vehicle, but also for the vehicle that you've crashed into. There's a good question you've asked, though, in relation to, you know, selecting a tire and getting good advice on a tire. And, the most expensive tire out there on the market isn't necessarily the one for you or the one that you should put in your car. And if you look at tire labelling, which is now required, on all tires, and all tire dealers are required to display labels on tires being sold. You know, just like you're going to buy an appliance, whether it's a fridge or an oven or whatever it may be in a wholesaler, there are labels that give you a rating as to the performance on the tyre, both in terms of cost effectiveness, in terms of its ability to stop in wet weather, in terms of the noise that comes off the tyre. So there's lots of different, you know, metrics on those labels that will help you buy or help you inform your decision on buying a tyre. And you can, I suppose, armed with that information, that independent information, make good choices. And look, even myself, I found that the highest rating tyre wasn't necessarily the most expensive one that I put on my own car. So it's important that you look at the tyres, you look at the information on the labels, and then listen to the dealer and what the dealer is saying. They are the experts as well in this. But what we would ask people to do, and this costs no money, and that is, this week, if you call into an Irish Tyre Industry Association dealer, they'll check your tyres for free. And that's not going to cost you anything.
And Brian, just how do people know off the top of their head when they're going by a dealership if it's a member of ITIA?
Oh, you'll see the ITIA logo. Okay. It's a tyre with the words ITIA on it, and you'll see that prominently displayed. And look, they'll check it for free. They'll check the tyre pressure, because that's something that we find people find a little bit intimidating. Trying to find out what is the actual tyre pressure of the tyre. Some people actually see a number written on the sidewall of the tyre and think that's the tyre pressure. It's not. Look for the manual, it'll say it there, or maybe on the inside of the door. It's usually displayed there as well.
Yeah, no, very easy. I know with my own car, it's on the inside of the door, so if anybody is wondering where your tyre pressure is, just check there. And it's a very easy thing to do, to pump up your own tyres at a local service station. But listen, the communications manager for the RSA, Brian Farrell, thank you.
Thank you, Ciara.
Thanks indeed, Ciara. Thanks, Brian. Just before we move on, a couple of quick messages coming in. And a listener says, we feel, Sam Kenny, how are you, Sam? Lovely poem that you did for us last week. She says, we feel Aisling McNiff's pain. We had a grant approved for Ava for a bathroom, door widening and a ramp to get her into the house. The quotes we submitted were for 30,000. We were approved for 15,000. Since the approval prices have increased now, and I doubt it will even cover half the original. This doesn't cover the hoist. We will need either. That's an extra €7,000 for a hoist for Ava. We filled all the pages and it was decided by the council OT what we needed, and we have to do the work in the report to the letter, or we will not be given the grant retrospectively. That's also important. The grant is retrospective. The family has to pay in full and then claim back the grant. Thanks for raising this issue, says Sam Kenny. Might get you on about this again tomorrow, Sam, in regards to that. So you have to fork out the money first, and then the grant is paid retrospectively. But sure, if you're applying for a grant, you haven't the money in the first place. It seems completely counter productive in regards to that. I can't figure out that one at all. We'll follow that tomorrow, I think.
All right, let's go back to the Claim Maynooth Municipal District meeting then in the last few days. And joining me on the line this morning is Fianna Fáil Councillor Paul Ward. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Owen. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad. So motions then that you brought forward to the recent meeting. It seems as though there's an issue on the roads in Cooltrim South and Cooltrim North in Dunedee. You wanted the council to resurface those.
That's correct, Owen. There has been an enormous amount of restoration and road improvement works carried out throughout the municipal district over the last 6 months. And in fact, we here in Coolcock had the square and the Connacht Street resurfaced, and it's looking great. In total, we receive an update every month from the municipal district engineer, and he's informed us that over 70 kilometres of our local roads here in this municipal district have been restored or resurfaced over the last number of months. So as a result of that, we're getting numerous representations from people in and around the area of Coolcock looking for their road to be included, and this is one such road. So I've been asked by local residents and users to raise this road here in Cooltrim South and Cooltrim North. It's one of the main artery roads on from Coolcock to Dunedee Forest. It's very highly used, and there's a good number of residents on that road. So in that instance, I believe it meets the criteria for the decision being made by the area engineer to resurface it. So I just got a report in back there from the council saying that it will be considered, and I will be confident that that road will be dealt with next year.
Okay, good stuff. You also had a motion then asking the council to repair the broken street signs in and around the town of Kilcock.
Yeah. As you can see from the report there, Owen, the area engineers have also spotted this as a major issue and problem in our municipal district. And in fact, they've bought over 400 new road and street signs, which is always good news. So I have arranged to meet the area engineer in Coolcock to identify the particular road and street signs that are in a very poor state of repair and condition. And we hope to have a plan of works coming forward over the next number of months to replace them. Coolcock, as you know from talking on the radio with me over the last couple of months, we've had an extensive footpath works and resurfacing done in and around the town. The next step is just to, we're trying to improve the whole aesthetics of Coolcock, and it's seen some great improvements over the last number of years, the Greenway, the Square in Coolcock and places like that. And this is just the next level. We're going down to the next level of repair, and I really believe that the street signs in a poor state of repair take away from those works that have been carried out over the last number of years. So this is to try and improve that particular aspect that we have a problem with here in Coolcock, and I'm glad to say that that will be happening.
And just before we go to your final motion, Paul, you're mentioning there Coolcock. I know you're based in that area as well. Submissions closing today in terms of the DART Plus, if people want to make submissions on that. I know there's a group there, we covered it yesterday with Social Democrats Councillor Aidan Farley, a group in Coolcock,
right,
are calling
right
for the DART Plus to extend out as far as the town.
That's correct, and in fact I have myself made, I'm actually preparing my submission again, which is my second submission, to support that. It would be a fundamental decision that will change the town of Coolcock. The demand is there, the population growth is there, the schools is a major feeding school to the university. With the advent of the growth of Maynooth University, the number of students and student accommodation is in dire straits in Maynooth. Students are now coming out to Coolcock to live while studying in Maynooth, and that's another level of use. But also you have to remember all the hinterlands in and around Coolcock, some that I talk about quite often on your stations, Dunedee, Ratcoffey, Newtown. All of those people will be able to travel in without having to clog up the M4 and travel in and park in Coolcock and use the DART service. It would be a great addition to the town. Yes, I have met Minister Eamon Ryan in line with my colleagues. I've met members of the Bus Air Engineering Group, and I've advocated that it's very hard. I've always said it at the start of these meetings. I'm a Coolcock-based councillor. I use the train. And to be able to say that you're going to see this mass development of the BART service to Maynooth and the station in between Maynooth and Coolcock, and to be standing on the platform in Coolcock station and to be looking down less than 1 kilometre and see the DART services, I think it would be a travesty if it's not continued on into Coolcock. The town needs it, the town wants it, and I would urge anybody to put in a submission at this point.
That's indeed Paul Ward and Owen discussing the motions that he brought to the recent council meeting. A couple of quick messages before we go to Crime Time with Garda Seana Mahony. Councillor Angela Feeney just echoes my point. Sure, if people could afford these housing adaptation grants, they wouldn't be looking for the money in the first place. But the idea of retrospective, you know, of having to spend the money first and then apply to get the grant, it just sounds completely contradictory in regards to that. Anyway, we'll have a few more of that. The Thorpe family have been in touch from County Clare. Mick, Lynn, Robin and James. Yes, I heard you had moved off to the Banner and we thought you had left you. We thought we had lost you. Well, you say you've got your Alexa speakers sorted and now you can listen to KFM. Of course you can. And don't forget, by the way, the KFM app. For the iPhone or Android, you can download the KFM app entirely free. It's got loads of features and you can carry it around with us and listen to us 24 hours a day. So just search Kildare's KFM on the app. And as regards Alexa, somebody else said, by the way, in regards to Alexa as well, I just say to Alexa very clearly, Kildare Radio, and that puts it on. All right? So let us know how you're getting on with all your various speakers. But don't forget the app. That you can download that entirely free for iPhone and Android and listen to us 24 hours a day. And it's packed with lots of information about presenters, programmes and everything else. Very comprehensive, I have to say, and we're very proud of it. And you can listen to us always live on our website as well on kfmradio.com. And of course, either of our wavelengths, 97.6 or 97.3. Garda Seana Mahony is up next.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just before we hear of Crime Time, Owen, we have a listener has been in touch with us about a scam phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a listener just called in to say that she's received a scam call from someone purporting to be from Amazon. He was insisting that she should download a form onto her phone or else he would take €80 from her account. She says now that she hung up and didn't give out any details but just wants other people to be aware. She says also it was a long number that began with 00353 and that the man on the other end of the phone didn't speak with an Irish accent. He had a foreign accent. But that's a message that just came in there recently.
Well, what can we say? Just always, just don't give any details to anyone you don't know over the phone.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Indeed, Garda Seana Mahony at Thai Garda Station. Good morning to you, Sean.
Morning, Clem.
Thanks for joining us. Now, we have a range of crimes that you have sent us in regards to that. I don't have visibility on it at the minute, but I think we're going to start with a burglary in Selbridge, are we, Sean?
Correct, Clem, yeah. On Thursday last, the 30th of the 9th, between 8 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. on the Dublin Road in Selbridge, the intra-party arrives home to find that the vehicle was missing from the driveway and the kitchen and the bedroom have been ransacked. The vehicle is a 161 KE1987, a 161 Kildare 1987. It's a grey Toyota. So I suppose if anyone was in the area, Clem, last Thursday between 8 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. on the Dublin Road, Selbridge, and they saw this vehicle or anybody acting suspiciously, they might contact Selbridge Gardaí, please.
All right, next up, Sean.
We have a burglary in Clane on the same day on the 30th of the 9th, which was last Thursday again. This was in the evening time, Clem, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. at Ballinagappa in Clane. The injured party arrived home and noticed the side window and the patio door had been smashed and the house had been ransacked. So again, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. on Thursday the 30th of the 9th, if anyone saw anyone suspicious in the Ballinagappa Clane area, I know it would be getting dark at that stage, but if anyone saw anyone, they might contact Clane or Naas Gardaí, please.
Right, so we've had Selbridge, we've been in Clane, we're heading to Ballymore Eustace, where there was another burglary on the 1st of October.
Yes, Clem. On the 1st of October, which was Friday, this was between 12 midnight and 5 a.m, we had a burglary at Horsepath Town, Ballymore Eustace. Now, we have two people who are suspects for that, but we just need, if anyone was in the area that might have dash cam footage or anything, if anyone suspicious in the area, they might contact Kilcullen Garda Station, please.
All right. From Ballymore Eustace, there was a theft from a site in Maynooth.
Yeah, so we're on to yesterday, and this was at 8 minutes past 3 in the afternoon, so 8:03, or 3 minutes past 8 minutes past 3, Clem, sorry, at Mullen Park, Stratton Road, Maynooth. A vehicle 07D07 Dublin 85035, a blue Citroen, entered Mullen Park, which is a building site, and took a number of very expensive building equipment and left the area. So if anyone has any information on that car, the blue Citroen 07D85035 in the Maynooth Stratton Road area, they might contact Maynooth Car Station.
Indeed, if it's movable, they'll try and take it. From there to a strange and unusual one in Monasterevin on the 30th of September, the theft of a horse.
Yeah, a strange one, Clem, right enough. Cool Nafara, Monasterevin. This was on last Thursday again between, and it's a specific time, 10 to 3 and quarter past, or quarter to 4, 10 to 3 and quarter to 4 last Thursday. And the inter-party had just checked on the horse and went back an hour later and the horse was gone. So the gate was opened into the field in the Cool Nafara, Monasterevin area. If anyone saw anyone, they would have needed obviously a horse box or a big van to take the horse. So if they could contact Monasterevin or Kildare Garda Station with any information. Again, if anyone has dash cam of any of those, any vehicle that maybe could have taken the horse away, they might contact the guards, please.
And the day before that, Sean, on September 29th, bikes were stolen in Clane.
Yeah, again, Clem, Och Amor in Clane. This was on the 29th, which is this day last week. Between 12 midnight and 6 a.m., two bikes were taken from a garden shed. They came in over the garden wall and broke the lock and took the two bikes. Too expensive enough racing bikes, a black and a white one. I don't have the actual make them here, Clem, but they're worth a nice bit of money. So again, I suppose if anyone is offered these at markets or they're cheaply offered online, they might report that to Clane Garda Station, please.
And never leave your bike unlocked. Now, I can't quite believe these figures, Sean, because given the awareness that we bring to all of this stuff on air consistently about drink driving, Kildare Gardaí have caught 12 drivers in the last week alone under the influence of alcohol.
Unbelievable, Clem, in fairness. I tend to mention it every time I come on, and for the last few times I was just looking back, it was 3 and 4, and 3 and 4 is too many, but like, people should be aware, and they are aware, they have to be aware that we have checkpoints on the road. And pubs are open, it's great to see them back open and people are socialising, but if you're going out, you need to have a way home. And the next morning, you need to be cognizant, if you have been drinking late at night, it does take a long time for alcohol to go out of your system.
I cannot believe it. 12 drivers. I mean, have people no cop on at all in this day and age? Not only putting their own lives in danger, but putting the lives of other road users in danger at any time of the year, and particularly with evenings getting darker and everything else. Now, Sean, on the good news front, Gardaí in Newbridge have carried off a bit of a coup. They've taken one of these burglars out of circulation for the moment.
Yeah, great result, I think, Clem. On the 4th of October, Gardaí Newbridge arrested a 40-year-old male on suspicion of burglary and unauthorised taking of a motor vehicle. He was subsequently charged with 6 burglaries, Clem, and 2 counts of unauthorised taking of cars. He was before Naas Court yesterday and was remanded into custody and will appear before video link today again in Naas Courthouse. I just want to say a great piece of police work by the Gardaí involved in that, Clem.
All right, well concerned. Now, why are you so happy about the people in Kildoon community?
So, Kildare Gardaí would just want to congratulate the community of Kildoon for setting up their community text alert scheme. This launches on Thursday the 14th of October, which is next week, at Nerney DA Grounds. It's great that communities are taking the initiative in South Kildare. I would be heavily involved with the community alert scheme down in South Kildare, and it is a great tool for community and for the guards, I have to say. It's been a great assistance to us down here over the last 8 years since we set it up. And I would like to say, if there's any community out there that haven't got one set up and would like to, they can contact the local guard station and they'll get details there, or they can contact me in the Tyne guard station.
Well, I remember a famous case out in Moon there, out around there, that they have a text alert system, and I know at one stage they caught a couple of significant would-be criminals in the area by just the virtue of that text alert. To all neighbours watching each other. I think that's a fantastic idea altogether. You can contact your local Garda station, or indeed if you're in the South Kildare area, Garda Sean O'Mahony at the Tyne Garda station for news of how to set up a text alert community scheme. It's a neighbourhood watch scheme where we all watch out for each other and text messages if you notice anything unusual going on in your community in regards to that. So well done on that, the people of Kildoon and other communities who have it, and on that range of crimes. The burglary in Selbridge on the 30th of September, a burglary in Clane the same day, in Ballymore Eustace on the 1st of October. Theft from that Mullen Park site in Maynooth on the 5th of October. That's only yesterday. Theft of a horse in Monastreven on September 30th. The day before that, two valuable racing bikes stolen in Clain, and 12 drunk drivers in the past week. Lord almighty. Not to mention those that are heading up and down roads at 140, 150 plus that we see the Naas policing unit quite often get, as we hear in our news bulletins as well. Community Garda at the Thai Garda Station, Sean O'Mahony. Great roundup, Sean. Thanks for your time again.
Thanks, Tom.
Stay safe indeed, say all of us.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.